Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com. Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Damn these Biloxi blues, it happens every night. And I ain't never met a riverboat dealer that could ever be a friend of mine.
I have not.
Summer heat never treats me kind, it leaves trouble on my mind. So I'm bidding farewell, putting in my notice, and I'll see you at another time.
This highway
does not know my name, and I don't care.
No, I don't care. Come on.
Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare.
Right to the hood.
Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
Low budget live, not so live. And welcome all you returning lowlifers and you new lowlifers. If this is your first time joining this program, you are now a lowlifer. That is what the fine people that listen to this every week and watch this every week, consuming it every way possible, refer to themselves as. You are a lowlifer now. And if you're new, that song is a song written by me and recorded by me a few years ago called Biloxi Blues. And the line, I ain't ever met a riverboat dealer, not diva. I had a guy comment that, and I love you, sir. I love you. Misheard song lyrics are my favorite. And somebody commented that the other day, and I was laughing hysterically. It actually works in the song. I ain't ever met a riverboat diva, but it's a dealer, like a card dealer, riverboat dealer. So if you're hearing it wrong, I just corrected you. But somebody commented that the other day, and me and the Triple Threat, my wife Marissa D, we got a big kick out of Riverboat Diva. It works. So welcome. This is the podcast for November the 16th, and it's good to be back in the low budget live bar and grill with you again. So I want to thank y'all for joining. And this week was awesome. Just a couple days ago, we launched Boats and Pros episode 5 with Randy Howe, and you guys have been super kind and have watched that. Amazing comments. And that was a real honor for me doing that with Randy, and I'm grateful to every one of these guys that are willing to take time out of their schedule to be a part of that project. And it is my favorite thing that I do. I've got a lot of things obviously that I'm involved in, but that is Boats and Pros is always going to be very special to me. Very special. Other than LD and the MC, of course, because Mercer's just a sweetie. But that episode was really cool for me. And I've had a lot of people reach out and say, man, I'm cutting onions in here. And I want to get you. Randy's story is an incredible one. So if you haven't watched it, shame on you. And go check it out. It uploaded last Friday. Go check it out on this fine YouTube channel right here. Something else. You guys know, y'all know my weight that I talk about on here all the time. I've done the fat ass challenge a couple times now. And I haven't really been talking much lately about my challenge to myself, which is the get off the couch, the get off the couch. And I would like to say, I don't know how much weight I've lost. I don't even weigh. I don't weigh. But I would like to say that I've got this little fitness app, and I've been going hiking as much as I can out at our local state park, and I've been running a little bit in the woods, hiking, running, and been doing several miles. And this app, sometimes I forget to save my workouts, but in the last 60 days, this is a big deal for me. Big deal. Milestone. In the last 60 days, I have gone 115 miles on these two legs. And I feel better, and I'm starting to notice it. And I can promise you, it's an awesome thing to get off the couch. So I challenge all y'all. Stupid, dumb Darian is fishing. And I have an idea for 2021, a new challenge, and it's going to be fun. I'm not going to tell you about it right now because it ain't 2021. We got to get through this dreadful, dreadful 2020. But I have to give him all the credit. He has a really good idea for a contest, for a competition featuring the lowlifers, and it'll be a good time. And I promise you, and I think we'll all get feeling better together. But over 100 miles, man, I can't... Yeah, it's crazy. And really yesterday, deer season, obviously going on in Tennessee, and y'all know I'm in love with them deer, more so than fish sometimes this time of year. And we were fortunate enough that Dad, Marty D, Big Pop, shot a really nice deer yesterday, a deer we called Captain Hook that we've been hunting for a couple years now. And I think, you know, 5-6-year-old whitetail probably in Tennessee, which is hard to do. We have a very long season and a very long rifle season. So it's really hard to see those bucks get to that age. But really nice 8-point, and that was cool to get that text yesterday. I was actually on the couch. As I talk about getting off the couch, I was on the couch yesterday morning. I didn't hunt. It was hot. It's like, no good. Dad grunts in. Gigantor. So he shoots him, and I got to return the favor to him. Me and my brother, and I carried the boys down there, and we went and helped recover his deer, get it out. And it actually fell basically in the Grand Canyon. So we hunt a farm that has a ton of them old Tennessee hills, and this sucker was at just there. It was like this. And I was but I say all that to say this. I was very proud that I just steady walked up this hill that's been on our farm. We've hunted this farm for 30 years of my life. I've been down there that we've leased this place. And this hill has been one of my arch nemesis, however you say it. But it's just a mega hill, man. It's like this. And yesterday, Dad's like, we load the deer up in the bad boy buggy. He's going to take up Dad's knees are real bad. He's like, I'm gonna take him on up. I said, I'm going to walk. And I made the boys walk with me, and they were winded, and guess who wasn't? That's right, old fat Dad. So I'd say getting off the couch is paying off. So it felt really good yesterday, though. When you see those results and you feel those results, man, it feels really good. So I challenge you lowlifers out there, get off the couch. Get off the couch. But very cool Tennessee deer season, man. We've got two tags in now, me and Big Pop, and waiting on my little brother, who's normally got the quicker trigger than all of us. Let's just be honest. My brother will flat shoot some deer, and he's behind the eight ball. He's feeling the pressure a little bit. It's not a competition, but when you are, it's just me and my brother. It's the only sibling I have, and our sibling rivalry is real. It's real. So a little bit of pressure on baby brother Blake right now, and he's feeling it. He's feeling it. We got a lot of good bucks, though. He's going to get one very soon. I have no doubt. So very cool week. I've got to say, before we move on, a huge thank you to these fine folks right here. The people, the fine Floridians who have been basically flooded out this week. God bless them down there in South Florida. But the fine folks at StarTron, StarBright Cleaning Solutions, StarTron, of course, bringing you low budget life for 3 years now. And as it's been bringing you low budget life, it's been just kicking ethanol right in the teeth. Use some of that in my chainsaw this week because I've been cutting firewood. So this right here, a little dab will do you out of this pretty, pretty blue liquid, and it will take care of ethanol in your weed eater chainsaw. This time of year, you start to leave stuff, you know, your lawnmower. You may have some fuel left over in it. You better get you some StarTron to put it in there because that ethanol, no bueno. So right there, StarTron's available basically everywhere. I see this stuff, gas stations, Walmarts, True Value Hardwares, everywhere. It's all over the place. Tractor Spot, you see it everywhere. So no excuses, lowlifers. No excuses. And nothing ruins a great day on the water like an outboard engine that won't run. So put you some StarTron in your tank and shake your StarTron real good for LBL. Get you some StarTron. Also, the fine folks at Sims Fishing Products, the official clothing of Low Budget Live and Low Budget Live, Not So Live, and the Traveling Circus, and whatever else it is that I may be doing these days. The fine folks at Sims, the Pro Dry rain suit, the new Pro Dry is freaking slick. I got to wear it again this week doing some filming out in the rain, and it is, it's impressive. It's an impressive suit for a lightweight suit. It's very impressive how it gets the rain out of there. So I'm here to remind all of you lowlifers, you get one life, fish it well. And last but certainly not least, the fine, amazing folks at Express Boats in Hot Springs, Arkansas, the official boat of Low Budget Live, and things are coming together on that bad boy. Whew. I got a garage full of Garmins. I got a garage full of power poles, and I'm just waiting. We just waiting, and should see that thing sooner than later. And I cannot wait to get that 21 Pro in my hands. Going to be some wintertime fishing when we see that thing. Of course, a lot of videos. So the official boat of Low Budget Live in the Traveling Circus, the Express 21 Pro, thanks to those fine folks. We moving on. I've been rambling more than normal, right? More than normal. It's just a lot going on this week. A lot's going on. So I've got to acknowledge two of, in my opinion, there are tournaments that I feel like, I don't know, how do I need to say this? I feel like fishing fans take them for granted a little bit, these two tournaments. And what I mean by that is I feel like they don't, sometimes they don't get the respect they deserve from people that are like all super up into just professional fishing. And what I mean by that is you're just like, oh, Elite Series, oh, Bass Pro Tour, FLW, and you don't pay attention to the other ranks as much. And I'm such a fan of the sport that I pay attention, and being in the business of it, you know, you like to see either up-and-comers or you like to see every level of sport. I keep up with all of it religiously. And two huge events this week, one for the FLW hashtag Big Five hashtag RIP FLW crowd, the BFL All-American, which I've said many times, marquee event in sport, incredible event. To get there is a ridiculous thing. To win it is a whole other deal. And that went down this week, and Missouri's Chris Macy won him $100,000 on Lake Hartwell. Very tough Lake Hartwell again. That fall transition deal like we saw earlier in the Bass Open that Patrick Walters won. But another Garmin LiveScope win. This is insane to me that this is going on. I'm probably going to get fired from Garmin because they're not going to need anybody to promote anything because they're selling like hotcakes, as my grandmother used to say. But another one, this dude says he would not have caught a bass had it not been for this technology. Now, think about that. Think about that statement. Chris Macy, I would not have caught a bass without this technology. Like, so a year ago, 2 years ago, before we had this technology, this LiveScope technology, you just don't catch them. It's really, really, and I know this has been the topic. We talked about it on LD and the MC this week. We talked about it on LBL last week. and over and over it pops up. Our guest today, we're going to talk about it some more. But, man, it's so revolutionary what's going on. And, of course, you know, like I've said, Garmin paved the way with this, but you're going to see Humminbird. You're going to see Lowrance. You're going to see, you know, other versions of this. But, holy crap, it has revolutionized the way we fish, especially tough fall suspended fish. You know, when we're like, oh, they're not on the bank. Well, yes, because they're right over here, and now you can see where right over here is. Pretty incredible. So just had to throw that out there. That still just blows my mind every time I read it, that another win. Incredible. So congrats to Chris Macy, $100,000 richer, and a top 10 full of just, if you keep up, Stone Cold Killers, Todd Goad, really great fisherman, great on Lake Hartwell. Cole Floyd, who's just, you know, needs no introduction. Jamie Rampey, who's a Hartwell guru. Roger Fitzpatrick, the Beer Horse, Dennis Bear Horse from up in Lake of the Ozarks. Just so many guys in that top 10 are just some incredible fishermen, incredible fishermen. And I've got to say another huge congratulations. And this one is really cool to me, because I was a co-angler for a little bit, you know, and I got to say, Justin Kimmel, at Professional Fishhead on Instagram, Justin Kimmel, who works for Bass University, is somebody that I'm proud to call a friend. I have been fortunate enough to get to know Justin, work with Justin a lot over the last few years, and I don't think I know anybody truly that's as obsessed with fishing and the details of fishing as Justin. He fishes some boater events, fishes some team events, but he's just consumed with the whole process. But he has like two co-angler wins on Hartwell. I believe it's two in BFLs. He lives right there in that general area, but he won the BFL All-American out of the back of the boat, 50K for him and his family. Incredible. That is so hard to do. So hard to do. Now, this dude, to give you a little bit, he works on all the Bass University stuff you see. Justin's basically involved with it, lining those up, program director, and with the lives, he's so involved, but he gets the juice. My man is a constant student of the sport, and man, he and I have some long-winded conversations about bass fishing and techniques and things, but wanted to say congratulations to him. He also loves good music, too, likes to play the guitar, likes to sing a little bit, and he's a good man, good family man, so I like when good people's, I like to see him hoist those trophies, so congrats to my buddy, Justin, and he texted me, he and I were texting back and forth, congratulations, he said, man, I just hope this gets me on LBL Not So Live. And I just had to laugh at that. And he said, dude, it's an honor to be on there. And I said, insert eye roll emoji here, because that made me laugh. Because he's a good dude, giving me a hard time. But he made it. Congratulations, Justin. You not only won the All-American, you made it to LBL. There you go. I know you're excited. Moving on. Got to say a huge congratulations. And I'm probably going to butcher your name. I feel like it's like I'm gonna say it, but I've never heard this pronounced because I didn't get to watch the weigh-ins. But another huge quote amateur tournament. I hate saying that, but the Bass Master Bass Nation Championship was down here at my home lake, Pickwick Lake, one of my home lakes. And Pat Schlapper, I love that name, Pat. Holler at your boy, I love it. Pat Schlapper blows the thing out. Impressive. Pickwick's been fishing very tough, and he caught a mega smallmouth stringer on the last day. He was around it the whole time, and then he ends up blowing it out. I think he caught the biggest stringer by like 6 pounds for the whole event. Craziness. So congrats to Pat. Very, very I get a lot of messages about this dude, okay? I definitely want to have him on in the coming weeks. Pat is also fishing the Eastern Opens. Pat is ranked third in that Eastern Open point race for an Elite Series bid. But he don't need it anymore. He's like, I'm doing my own thing. Because with that federation, I call it the federation, but with that nation championship win, he goes to the Classic, he gets an Elite Series bid, and he gets some of his entry fees paid, and he gets to fish out of a federation best, the nation's best boat wrap next year. Really cool deal. It's a cool package. not as much of a cash prize as the All-American, but get that Elite Series bid. It's very cool, man. It's very cool. Obviously, the Classic Nugget is a big one for anybody. But Pat, the reason this is important for so many people, for Pat to go to Lay Lake in about 2 weeks, 3 weeks, first week of December, and finish that points deal out. If he finishes in the top four, just opens up another Elite Series berth. It opens up another Elite Series berth. And those spots, they're important. They're important to a lot of guys. Especially you got a few that you know, trying to get back in from over at BPT. And then obviously you've got all the newcomers, the guys scratching and clawing and fighting their way from other tournament trails. It seems like forever ago when guys like Scott Martin, Upshaw, Castledine, Bradley Holman, Latimer, Sheldon Cox, some of these guys were at FLW, myself included. Like, this year has been so damn long that it feels like forever ago. But you've got a lot on the line going into these last two tournaments. And one of them's this week at Louisville. That's where the central points are going to wrap. And then we go to Lay Lake for the last one. Man, it's going to be interesting. There's going to be a lot of new faces at Bass, some old faces coming back, some new famous faces like a Scott Martin, I feel like, obviously he's going to be there. It's going to be interesting. But for me, Jason Christie's going to qualify like four times if you can, I feel like, if he can just keep it going. He's leading the Central Open points. Daryl Gleason, a good dang dude. Toledo Bend guy, fishes FLW. He's second in those central points. Lee Livesey, the rock star, is third. Obviously, he's an elite guy, so it doesn't matter if he qualifies. He's just trying to win Louisville to make it to the Classic. Had a great event at Lake Fork, but didn't quite get the win. Mark Frazier, Elite Series pro, Micah Frazier's brother, is fourth in those points. He's also doing very well in the overall points. Then you drop down to eighth place in those centrals. You got Greg Hackney, who's trying to get back in, who I feel like will get in through like some kind of Legends deal if he wants to. Maybe he doesn't want to. I don't know. We shall freaking see. We got to pause for 2 seconds because I got to swap something out. And then we're going to get a guest on the phone. This is rare for LBL, but please hold what you got 2 seconds. You'll never even know it. All right, and I'm back. Had to change a freaking camera battery. I have to share some frustrations with y'all just real quick, just because I keep it real. This is a one-man band. Last week, I had the entire show was out of focus. And man, there are days where it does get frustrating kind of being low budget by myself. And I think it's going to be time here pretty soon to make a move and get us some help in the LBL Bar and Grill just to make things go a little smoother. So freaking bizarre to me. Camera's like, dang, I thought it was a full battery. I don't know. So had to swap out a camera battery. Those of you listening on iTunes and Spotify and all that good jazz, you didn't even miss it. You didn't even miss it. So I'm very pumped about today's guest, and we're going to give him a couple more minutes, but I'm very pumped. And the reason being, I've been trying to get him on for a while. He's been doing the podcast rounds, obviously, as everybody that wins an Elite Series and all that good stuff. They typically do. But this guy, and I'm going to get into this with him, but this guy really, from the first time I ever really heard of him, like I was saying earlier, super fan of the sport, so you're in the industry, so you're keeping up, right? You're keeping up with the goings-on and who's who and who's catching them and who's not. And the first time this guy caught my attention was in some college events. And on the FLW side, and then you see him on the Bassmaster side, and he's winning at everything, and for the University of South Carolina, and it's like, whoa, okay. And he seemed to be very polished, and very professional then. And there are a lot of guys in that college world that just aren't that way. Maybe they don't want it to be a career. Maybe it's something fun that they're doing. But this dude was like a stone cold killer, like in his eyes. Like the look was different for me. And I think that goes in any sport, any job, any, you know, like musicians, whatever. There are definite differences in guys that are born to do it and guys that have to work hard but are successful, and then people that just aren't any good at it. And this dude was born, in my opinion, to be a professional bass fisherman. Born to be. So my guest today is a pro fishing phenom in the making, in my opinion. He's won huge at the college level, like I mentioned, the Bass Opens level, and most recently smashed the winning weight margin of victory record on the Bassmaster freaking Elite Series at Lake Fork. Let's get him on the phone. As soon as my phone works, there we go. We're going to talk to some Patrick Walters today, if we can.
Luke,
Patrick,
what is going on?
Walters, how are you, my friend?
Man, I'm doing pretty good. You know, just got back home, had a late night last night. I am hanging in there.
Okay,
as
so
I can.
Okay, so I have to ask, just because it's Low Budget Live, where did this late night take place? Is that Charleston? Is that where's that at?
I'm in Somerville, so I'm right close to Charleston, and we were eating dinner, and you're like, you know what? Let's go play some Top Golf.
Oh.
And so the only place we have Top Golf is actually at Myrtle Beach. So we all got in the car and drove 2.5 hours to play Top Golf last night. It was worth it, though.
It was worth it. You know what, Patrick? I would like to say that I'm 37 now, so I'm 11 years older than you. But you can make those moves in your 20s, bro. Like, you can make them. Make them now. Make those moves now. Celebrate winning big tournaments by going, you know what, guys? We're fixing to go to Myrtle Beach because we can.
Just was like, hey, let's do it. I don't know. You're right. I don't know how many more years I can do it, because it's like that next day you're just like, oh man.
Oh, dude.
I'm gonna be a little slow getting to work today.
It does get a little harder. I ain't gonna lie. And I think any older gentleman listening to this fine program would probably say in the comments, y'all drop a comment for Patrick below. But I think they would tell you, yeah, it's going to get worse. Dude, when I turned 30, not to scare you, but when I turned 30, everything fell apart. My beard went gray. I broke my ankle that year at like a trampoline park with my kids. I wasn't doing like a double backflip. Like, I was just jumping. And I was
you just jumped on the mat.
I just jumped. And I was in blue jeans. I was being the cool dad. You know, I wasn't in athletic gear. I wasn't planning on doing any flips. Yeah, so the year I turned 30, and I was like, you know what? Getting old, this is real life. Like, this happens. So
this is reality. Right,
this is reality, buddy.
As you laid there, and some little kid like was throwing like turf balls at you, you're just like, oh my god.
No, for me, I was there with my boys by myself, just real quick, by myself with my boys. And truly, you know, when you break a bone, I don't know if you've ever broken one, but when you do, all the blood rushes to your head, like you get dizzy.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, I knew immediately that I'd broken it, because I've broken stuff over the years just being a dumb guy. And my memory from this is Ryder, who's now 9, he was 2 at the time, and him just running from me like, ha 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 ha, like that. I'm going over here, and me not being able to like communicate because I was about to puke and trying to figure out. And of course, you know, You're at that place. There's some of those, you know, we call them the hot moms, right? And you want to kind of shake it off, right? So, that was a nightmare day. There was no phone ball.
You're gonna have to drive us home. Get back over here.
Exactly.
Come here. Yes.
So that. So I say this to you, you record breaking bass fishing phenom. You get ready, buddy. Your time is coming. Dang it.
I can believe it.
Oh, me. So, dude, I've let you do the rounds. I say this all the time on here. You got to do the gauntlet. You got to do Bass U Live, break down all your bait details. You got to do the shows. And then I always try to get everybody on the backside. Like, come on, then we'll have an LBL interview. So I wanted to say, obviously, first of all, congratulations, dude. And Second of all, that was one of the most awesome tournaments I've ever witnessed in my entire life. To get to watch that live, dude, I said after day two, I told my wife, I said, I've never seen anybody in a professional event that dialed in. I don't think I have, man. Like, it was definitely history. I mean, it's so awesome. So
thank you. I really do appreciate it. And from start to finish, it was an unbelievable week. And you couldn't script it. You couldn't ask for anything better. And I had no idea that was ever going to happen, that the outcome was going to be like that.
Yeah.
After practice, I was like, you know, I'm going to go out there and try to catch 15 to 17 pounds, which I thought was great.
You know?
I was like, this will carry me. And then every day, once I started leaning on them, I was like, oh, my. It blew me away. I had no idea that kind of potential was even out there. Because, I mean, in all reality, nobody thinks about catching 100 pounds in the fall. It just doesn't happen. No matter where you go, it's just like that's unheard of. Because usually in, like, springtime when it happens, you've got fish coming to you. Or in June, the fish are coming to you, like where you're fishing, you're cranking points and stuff. But in the fall, the fish are usually so scattered that you can never find those big populations of fish. And what's weird is I'm blown away nobody was doing that pattern. We've been playing with that for like a couple months now, me and a couple buddies, and we've been kind of dialing it in and playing. And I did the same exact thing in Cherokee the week prior in the Eastern Open. Had the rods tied on. When I got there that night, I got there Sunday morning to fork, and practice started on Monday. And all I did was I didn't take anything out of the boat. I added like 6 8-foot rods for big swim baits, you know. Put 20 and 30 pound fluorocarbon on there, and I was like, this is, you know, what I'm going to go do this week. And they would not touch a swim bait for some reason. I do not know why.
That was for me watching, because I'm a swim bait guy. I love to throw a jerk bait too, but I'm a swim bait guy, and I'm a panoptic, like I'm a live scope dude. I had one of the first ones a couple years ago that anybody got to play around with, and I was fortunate enough, I was doing a media release for those guys. So I got to play with one, and I've got a lake here that sets up very well for it, Tennessee State Lake, where there's a ton of suspended fish and big ones. And so I've got to play around with the different configurations of things, if they will bite and what you can see the best on the thing and all that good stuff. And I was really surprised that a swim bait didn't play for you. I kept saying, like, I can't believe they won't eat it. Like, that blew my mind.
Well, I think the only reason I got lucky enough to kind of get so dialed in with baits is, this is going to sound weird, but I found that bite the first hour of practice on the first day.
Wow.
So I pulled into a pocket and saw some stumps over there, and I was like, man, those are two fish right there, you know? And I'm like, well, I got to throw a jerk plug at them. You know, I was like, I got to try it, you know? And I threw it over there, and I call it dancing on them. Like, they're just sitting there dancing on that jerk plug. You know, when they sit there chasing that thing? And it was just two huge fish, because I went from Cherokee to catching 10 pounds a day five fish. And I mean, you just, when you get dialed in on your range and your depth, when you don't really change it, the blobs, you can kind of tell.
I
was like, oh my God, those are two hammers. You know, and they're just dancing on it. And then one knocks it, and the blind grabs the front hook. And I was like, no worries. Like, I didn't need to catch him, because I was like, that shows me what I needed to see. I was like, now I'm going to go around the corner, and I'm going to see if I can find some standing timber and actually duplicate that. And in the first patch of timber I pulled into, I caught like a 2-pounder and then a 3-pounder. And then I lost a 6. And that was the biggest fish I hooked in practice. And so I was like, okay, there is good quality here. And other than that, for the next two and a half days of practice, I never caught one over 3.5 pounds. So I was like, you know, maybe I'll catch 15 pounds, have a chance at 17 and hope for a big bite. And, so the next 2.5 days of practice, I would literally ride around the lake looking for fish, find where the areas were bait, kind of the better areas of the lake, and I would throw every bait I had at them. I threw Depths 250s. I threw big glide baits. I threw the Storm Arashi glide bait, little glide baits. I threw the Magdraft 10-inch. I threw the Magdraft 8-inch and 6-inch. I threw the Babe swim bait. I threw the Zoom swimmer. I threw like 3.8. baits, 3-inch swim baits. I thought drop shots, wacky worm, DT20s, DT10s, square bills. I tried everything I had in the boat to catch them. I really did.
That's wild.
After practice, I had that, I call it just old trash pile, you know, baits laying there that I didn't cut off. Dad's like, you think you should clean that up? He's like, that looks a little dangerous right there for somebody to be riding in the boat. And I'm like, yeah, I probably do need to clean that up a little bit before somebody steps on a big old treble hook. And I think finding it early in the week helped me dial in those baits. You know, every day I tried to throw a swim bait, but those fish would just, it was too hard to get them to commit to it for some reason.
I know for, you know, you see a lot of the guy, I've got some good friends out there, and they swim bait a lot. I'll say that, you know, it's a swim bait lake. It's kind of like the Tennessee River. They throw swim baits a lot, and it does get trickier down here to get swim bait bites as the years go on, and we got to kind of keep shifting our gears a little bit, you know. But so maybe that's got something to do with it. I don't know. I was really intrigued by that, the swim bait deal. And I know I saw you pick up a glide bait a couple times during the event when you would get some that would not commit to the jerk bait. You know, I think it was the final day, actually, that you picked one up a little bit there. But so I kind of want to take this in this direction. I think you said something when you're naming all those baits. You impress me just with your willingness, your transparency. And Mercer and I talk about this on our show a lot and have talked about it on here as well. Fishing is changing. I know you're a student of this sport. You are a polished dude. I feel like I said before you came on, I feel like you were born to do this. There are people that are born to do things in life. You were born to be a professional angler. I feel like that is definitely the case with you. I think I've told you that before. You're an impressive young man. You got your act right on and off the water. You work hard for your sponsors. You do things, I feel like, the right way. Very impressive. But what I saw from you in that event, especially with the Elite Series, you had a huge Bassmaster Open win as well. You're on Bass Opens Live. But on that event, you were straight up. You were a Rapala guy, but you're like, this is what I'm catching them on. And, dude, that's hard to do for some folks. And you grew
that
up
is,
as
a
– talk
that's
about
a hard
that.
Line to,
yes.
To cross, you know, and it's a hard rope to go down in. And the biggest thing nowadays with the media coverage in the Elite Series and being on live, there's nothing hidden.
That's right.
They're going to see everything. There's no more secrets at all. And so when you try to keep secrets from today's – from social media and stuff, they're going to absolutely blast
yes.
you.
Yes.
They're like, that's not what he was catching on. And that is true, and that happened.
And they will.
And so it's just being honest, I feel like, is honestly the best way to always go.
Oh,
you know?
Of course.
I've been talking with Rapala about it, and I've been throwing the Shadow Wrap. I was throwing a Megabass and a Duo. I don't ever want to publicize those, really. I talk about them. I mention them.
Of course, yeah.
Because that's what I was doing. You got to tell everybody kind of what it is, but you're not out there like promoting the baits.
That's
you know,
right.
There were certain reasons why I throw each bait. And I mean, when you got $125,000 on the line, you got to catch them with what they're going to buy.
That's right.
Exactly.
And I think for you, I know, and you can tell me, hey, Luke, shut up. I don't want to talk about it. But you being a Johnson Outdoors sponsored guy, and you've got all the electronics up there. Obviously you got the live scope. How does that play out for you? Because I know you're not here to promote that, and I don't blame you. It almost promotes itself, right? And I know those guys are going to come out with something. Lawrence is obviously going to have something. But how has that impacted your relationship? I mean, are those guys?
It's definitely. I don't want to go too deep.
Right? Yeah. Of course. Yeah. That's personal stuff. But I'm like, is it tense? Is it tense at all? I guess is my question.
it was tense there. Originally.
But, okay, I got you. Just
yeah, we've kind of taken different paths.
Okay. Well, and that's what I want to, and I want to get to that because I think for the fans, I think that's important. And here's why.
Well,
I feel like it's important because you guys, it shows that you guys, you're going to do what you've got to do to win, right? And you're going to do, you feed your family by catching bass. So you really need every tool. So that leads me to my next question. Are we going to see a lot more Jacob Wheelers in that electronics realm in the next few years?
I think so. I think there will be a push to that. I think we are absolutely going to see a huge change in electronic sponsorship deals.
Next
whether
year.
They're from just from next year.
Yes.
Absolutely. And it was kind of, and it was a juvenile decision that I made. It was young when I put it on the boat. It was my fault. And I felt like when we went up north that I had my hands tied behind my back fishing against those guys. I've only smallmouth fished for a couple of years now. I'm not very good at it. You know, it's a different type of fishing. It takes a little while to learn how to do that. And when those guys who are the best in the world at it also have the best tools at it, I was never going to publicize it. I still don't really publicize it. And it's one of those things that's like, well, you know, I'm not going to go up there and just get absolutely crushed by those guys, you know. But
I had a very veteran Elite Series pro talk to me on his way home from St. Clair and knows I'm a Garmin dude. And he says,
I'm in the same boat as him. I know who you're talking about.
He said, why did you not tell me that I needed this damn thing? Why? And I said, we fished together not long ago, and we talked about this on the front deck of the boat. And the day, because I remember the conversation very well, because I was enamored by his 360. I was. In the like, it is also a great tool, right?
Oh, that, absolutely. I mean, it truly, when you combine the two of them, the 360, I would say, is hands down the best tool for contours, depth change, structure on the bottom.
Yes.
Like at Santee, I'm running 360 for the rest of my life, because for stumps and stuff like that and brush piles, it's, you can't compete with it. It's that good. But then when you put a live scope on there and you can, you pan over there to that brush pile and you're like, okay, there's three of them on there. Then
it's different.
It is different. That is honestly the best way to put it. Because see, I am a shallow water fisherman in my mind. It used to be when I got deeper than 3 feet, I thought I was deep. I mean,
I got you.
I think the biggest thing in fishing and being able to catch fish is bait awareness of, you know, knowing what your bait's doing, how's it coming to that piece of structure. You know, you're working it, like you're throwing a spinner bait, or if I twitch the rod like that, you know, the blades are doing that.
Yes.
And that's the best thing about shallow water. We've always been able to do that. But now when you fish offshore, you would lose that capability and you're throwing a swim bait out there. And that's why I hated throwing a swim bait, because I'm like, I don't know how deep it is.
Yeah.
You know, I want to either throw a top water offshore or I want it on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
But now when you put forward-facing sonar and you have that capability to see where the fish are at, what is your bait exactly doing, where's it at in comparison to them, I feel like I have no limits on how deep I can fish now.
That's
like
awesome.
At Fork, I was fishing over 45, and it's just like, who cares? You know, it didn't matter, because I still felt like I was fishing shallow. I was catching them shallower than 10 foot because they had to be suspended. But knowing what the fish were doing, what your bait was doing, the exact structure, and I'm not wasting cast, it gives me that confidence that I have when I'm fishing shallow.
That's so awesome.
I love is it when it can do that just shows you how far technology has advanced.
Well, that kind of takes me into my next question. So there's a lot of debates about this, obviously. Good or bad, I'm all in. Bring it on. If we're looking at, I want to see those stupid suckers. Like, if I can look them right in the eye and tell them, hey, man, I'm fixing to throw everything at you. Like, if I can communicate with them, like, via FaceTime, because I hate bass that much, and I love them at the same time.
Go ahead and slide in the DM
swipe up, son. Hey, listen, here it comes. Some treble hooks to that face. Like, I want to trash talk them. Like, if that's where all this is headed, I'm good with that. But do you think, ultimately, you're on your second year in the Elite Series and all of this stuff is just starting to happen and you yourself have pushed it to the forefront and several other guys this year, but you're leading the charge, especially with this Fork win. Where does this take us with bass, do you think? As far as catching fish, is it going to make it harder 10 years from now, or is it going to just make anglers that much better? And we've just got to constantly adapt. Is that how we're going to – because obviously we're having to adapt anyways. That's what's led us to this, because without that, you don't catch 100 pounds. I mean, let's be honest.
That's
it's the
correct.
Same with hardball.
Oh, absolutely, because you wouldn't even know they're there.
Exactly right.
And
so
there is going to be ebbs and flows of the fishing industry and fishing as a whole. I feel that way. I don't think we're going to ban technology right off the bat. I think it's going to be a year or 2 years, just because – competition drives success.
Yes.
And I think all of these electronics companies are really starting to compete and they're getting it. And honestly, I think they have too much money.
I would agree with that.
Compared to the Alabama rig, where the companies were like, listen, we're only selling A rigs,
yes,
big line. Like, we're not doing anything. And so they had enough money that they were like, hey, we don't want this to kind of happen. We don't want to go down this road. And I think with technology, they're like, listen, Garmin's probably like, listen, we got LiveScope, okay? We've got it in the bag right now. Like, no, we're not giving discounts out. We're not
doing anything.
We want people buying it. And people are buying it. And they're like, listen, we'll sponsor you, Bass. Like, hey, here's $500,000. I don't know. I'm just saying numbers.
Yeah, of course. Like,
yeah, we're not paying in that, you know?
Absolutely.
So we'll see what happens and how far it gets. As long as it doesn't get carried away and people start running like 15 graphs. Like, I've seen some people start to run two forward-facing sonars on their boat. And listen, it is – you have to stay up to date, because I'm going to give one example of if you want to be – in the fishing industry for a long period of time, you always have to be able to adapt. And Rick Klun, I call that dude a chameleon. I'm telling you, he is the best in the world at it. He's got a Garmin on his boat.
That's right.
And so and I talked to him at St. John's about it, because he blew me away. I was over there talking to him, and I said, Klun, you got a LiveScope? Because it was blowing me away. He's like, oh, absolutely. He's like, because he is kind of like a mentor to Cody Huff.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I had Cody on. Yeah.
He is on the forefront too.
Yes, that's right. He definitely
is really blowing it out of the water. And
two LiveScope
wins. Cody was telling Rick about it and all that, and then Rick's like, "Of course, I had to get it." Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, that just shows you how he is willing to adapt to succeed. And I feel like you have to do that. You know, you gotta learn new technology, learn new techniques. It's like, when the drop shot came out, nobody wanted to throw it. I can promise you right now, I watched Straycast the other day, and Denny Brower was talking about throwing a drop shot.
Like, incredible.
If you want to do it long term, you just got to always be being able to adapt to it.
And be open-minded, man. I think the versatility that comes – and for some reason, I think guys like you, guys like Justin Atkins – Matt and Jordan Lee, these young guys that are coming up, and Jacob Wheelers, that are just absolutely Zach Burgess of the world, that are just dominant. Shane LaHue, Brandon, all these guys, too many to name. Love all you guys. Don't get mad at me. But you're that year class right in there, you guys are, to me, and I know you label yourself as I'm a shallow water guy. Now this helps me, you know, the technology helps me be more versatile. But I think you guys are some of the most versatile fishermen that we've ever seen in the history of the sport. Because you guys will drop deep cranking, if that's your strength, and go flip bushes if you got to, or vice versa, in the bat of just the blink of an eye. And those veteran guys that paved the way, like you mentioned, Denny Brower, brother, if he wasn't catching them on a jig or a spinnerbait most of the time, he wasn't catching them. Let's be honest.
That's true.
And the schedule set up well for him, and he was one of the greats of all time because of that. But, dude, I feel like you guys will drop everything and go do something different in the blink of an eye. Do you think is that a generational thing now, or is it just fishing has changed, do you think, to that point now?
That's a good question. I think that generation, for some reason, like we said, competition drives success, and we all kind of grew up together. I fished with Atkins since I started at college, and he is an absolute hammer. And every time we would go somewhere, he's catching them deep cranking, or on a Carolina rig, mm-hmm. or he's catching them on topwater. It didn't matter.
That's right.
And so I feel like to be able to be versatile and to be able to compete, you were like, no matter where we go, you had to learn that lake and learn how to catch them. And just never stick to one thing. Like, Craig Lamb gives me a hard time every time he comes and interviews me in the morning before blast off, and he's like, man, Patrick, got a lot of rods on deck again. And I'm like, well, it's probably just the usual number. It's just like 14 or 16 rods.
Yeah.
I mean, because I feel like even if I make one cast with that rod all day long, it was a purposeful cast. Like, I passed something, it was a stump underwater, or it was one dock or something. I only want to make one cast with it. You know, I might make three or four. I might, if I get a bite on it, I might throw it for three more hours. But it's a tool, you know. It's like a 10-millimeter wrench. It doesn't fit everything. But when you need it, you do need it to fit it. So it's I always have different tools, different baits for different situations. And so I feel like you got to stay versatile. You got to let the fish do the talking. That is my biggest philosophy. And when he bites, that's him telling you you're doing something right. So you just got to run with it.
That is, and Craig's an old school guy. He's been with Bass a long time. great rider for bass. And that's funny because the old adage is kind of, he's lost. He's got 20 rods on it. You know what I'm saying?
If you're looking at him and he's like, man, struggle practice. And I'm like, no, I mean, it was a little tough. I mean, I think we're catching fish, you know, but he's like, a lot of rods. It usually is a lot. And they're usually at the beginning of the day already stacked on top of each other. And by 2:30, hey, I've got six of them popped off.
Lines
hanging
for
everywhere.
Sure.
They're just crossed over. It takes like 35 minutes when I get back to check in just to untangle them to lay them back out right. I mean,
I have heard Thrift say that it's like a security blanket for him. Like, he likes having that many out. And he, of course, he's way more organized than I'll ever be. But I'm the same way. Do any time that even if I was like, okay, this week I'm basically going to throw this the entire time, dude, I would still have 12 out just because, like you said, I may go by a point and the wind may be blowing and I may want to pick up that DT6 just for three casts. Like, I've always been that way. I'll always be that way. I sit out here for just local tournaments this year fishing with my son, and I know what I'm going to go do, and I will have 30 ready. And I'm like, why? But that's just – it's just how – so I completely appreciate that statement of like, hey, man, if there's something I want to do, even if it's for 3 minutes, I want it sitting there at my feet. I don't have to tie it on. I don't have to take time. I had a friend of mine that used to fish co-angler on the tour years ago. He said, isn't it funny that we spend hours – and hours prepping before a tournament day for something that might actually save us 2 minutes on tournament day. But it is
absolutely,
it's very true.
It's so true, though. Like, it is true. The rod box, I've got, and I'm not saying you need a lot of rods to catch fish.
No.
You can have your basic couple setups. I mean, your 7.3s, your 7-footers.
That's right.
And you can get the job done.
No doubt.
But in that rod box, I'm going to have a bunch of them rigged and ready. At the beginning of the week, I'm like, I'll rig before I even go out there to practice. Like before official practice, and I'm like, dude, you know, I'm gonna catch him on a 7-inch slim bait, you know, or I'm gonna catch him on this popping frog. And I at the end of the week when I get home, they're still tied on and still in the box where they were at when I left. Like, never touched them, you know. But it's like, hey,
same here.
I could have thrown them. I wanted to try them, you know. Never even pulled them out.
Like sitting in the garage in South Carolina before you go to New York, you're like, let me tell you something, boys, the spy bait deal. And you're like out there rigging, and then you get up there and you're like, I ain't getting that thing.
Oh my gosh,
that's
you're getting the tackle box ready, like, they're going to buy a spy bait this year. And I don't pick that sucker up until, like, Friday at 2 o'clock when it's like, I'm not going to make the cut. I better go throw it, you know.
Trying to learn a new technique in the last hour of an Elite Series.
15 minutes, you're like, well, that was probably a bad idea.
That's awesome, man. Well, I've got. You can't have a Patrick Walters interview without hitting the hot topic. And I feel like this is a hot topic, and I post about it on my Instagram story. The shorts were almost too hot for TV. So I gotta say, what is the deal with the short? My little buddy Darian Craig, short. I can't pull them off. I'm an old man. Mercer said on LD and the MC, our new podcast, he said last week that he had read some survey somewhere that men's shorts are trending to be shorter. Is there a reason, or do you just have freakishly long legs?
I think I have long legs, and because they're normal PFG bathing suit pants. I think that is one of the things. And I said that to somebody else, and they're like, "No, dude, there's two shorts though." And it's always been a thing though. I've never liked long shorts. If they get anywhere close to my knee, oh, dude, I'm just gonna go put jeans on.
I'm just gonna
put pants on. No, I've always just worn shorts, and I think these are the same ones I've worn since like high school, and so they just.
I love
keep
it,
getting
man.
Shorter, I guess.
I had
after you wash them a couple times, they shrink up.
The famous scene, though, when you were leaning over the front of the boat, I'm sitting on the couch, and I'm like, he's fixing to hang himself with a treble hook somewhere, and it's not going to be good. Honey, don't look. Patrick's fixing to need medical help. You were all over those rods hanging honestly, off the front. Like, I was like, oh, my gosh.
Looking back in the tournament now, it's like it hasn't even set in yet. And now when I'm thinking about that fish catch, I'm like, at that point, I'm like, I don't care what was happening. I was like, I just need a fish. Like,
yeah,
I'm like,
of course.
Chance of winning
huge
the tournament,
moment,
you know?
Yeah.
And then I just like laying down, and I look down, and I'm like, Patrick, you are on the side of the boat that you have seven jerkbaits tied
yes,
on. You know
there
this,
were
right?
It was a minefield.
It was so many trouble. And it wasn't like I was changing treble hooks like four times a day. So they weren't dull. I know that. And then I get up and that one's like digging in my leg. Oh, and I'm like, yes. Man, this could have been a lot worse. I should have thought that one more through, but I thought it was a good fish when I hooked it, because all I could see was like the belly. I got hooked in some fishing line.
Yeah. Oh, really?
And it was on a tree, but it got wrapped in fishing line. So I was just like, oh gosh, I'm going for it. And by the time I leaned down, I was already committed.
You were there, man. I loved that. I'm like, dude, he's fixing to get hooked on TV, right in his thigh. Like, this is happening. We're all going to have to watch Davey Height pop a hook out of his leg. It's not going to be good. Well, dude, I've got to say, once again, I can't thank you enough for coming on. It's been a lot of fun and very, very I feel like people are going to get a lot from this, because you break stuff down at a very professional level, man. And I've told you this before. I've told this with people that you're associated with. I've told this to sponsors of yours. I feel like you are already – a 20-year veteran, and you're only in year two. And I think that is terrifying for anybody on the Elite Series, because you're just – I mean, you only triple qualify for the Classic. No big deal, guys. No big deal. But, man, I want to thank you for coming on and say congratulations again. And good luck. You got one more open. You can go Absolutely. Quadruple qualify.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to quadruple qualify in that one, but I really do enjoy being on here with you. I watch all the podcasts. It was a blessed week. I mean, words can't describe how everything went out. I never even thought it was going to be like that, but always happy to be here with you. You know, if you're calling me, something's going right. But I'm going to be pulling for my boy Justin at
Louisville.
Eastern, you know.
Well, at Louisville, he's got two more. He's got to catch him. He's got to keep the foot on the gas a little bit, but – you know, he's only got that Christie guy just breathing down his neck a little bit. That's okay. Whoever that guy is.
At Lay Lake, I'm going to be helping my other buddy, Justin, too. I got both of them I'm pulling for. I'm trying to get two Justins in the Elites. I got old Justin Hamner.
Yes.
He's the one I've been running with in the Opens a little bit. And
great fisherman.
He's a good kid.
Great fisherman.
He is a darn good fisherman. I want to see if he can pull it through.
Well, you got a lot of
There's a lot of good guys
there's
coming.
There's a lot
see, that's
of,
what I love,
a lot of meat coming.
It's that competition. Like, I've always just enjoyed fishing against the best. I mean, because that's just what makes you better. You know, you don't want to go out there and fish and be like, well, you're not fishing against anybody. You know, you want to, in my mind, you do have to fish against the fish every single day, no matter who you're fishing. Don't ever worry about the field. Because at Fork, I'm telling you, I thought I was completely lost.
Yeah.
Because after practice, I'm like, there's nobody around me. I'm like, I'm doing something wrong.
Man.
But that's where your mind starts running.
Absolutely.
You know?
Because when nobody's around you in a major tournament, you're either first or last, like Ricky Bobby.
Absolutely.
Like, truly, that's how they
and
go down
truly,
these days.
That's the only
how they
way
are.
It sets up.
Yep.
And then, like, every single day, my spectators would start leaving me. And then, like, day four, when Lee was making a strong comeback, he had like 25 spectators. He had like an armada. And like five of my guys just end up leaving me and start following him. And I'm like, Lee's a hammer, dude. I was like, Lee's got 40 pounds in the boat. And that's Fork. You know?
That's right.
Your mind instantly goes to the worst thought. You're just like,
so crazy.
You're right there. Every day I thought I was just losing it somehow. So I was like, I just got to keep catching them.
Amazing, dude. Well, you will without a doubt, Patrick Walters, keep catching them. And dude, I appreciate you very much. Hope you have a great Thanksgiving next week. We're a little early on that, but give me a shout if you need anything, man. Good talking to you.
Absolutely. Luke, it was a pleasure, man. I enjoyed it. Y'all be safe. You have a good Thanksgiving as well.
Thank you, brother.
See you,
Patrick. Patrick Walters right there on LBL. That dude is... There were so many nuggets in that for you guys, and I know he's been on Bass U Live. I know he's been on some other shows. Listen. Get you a big old dose of what he just said about a lot of things. Man, and he is something I want to echo, because I want to take it a little step further before we're done here today. There are going to be a lot of sponsor changes in that electronics realm. And I've joked about it, but at what point do the pros keep a singular contract with one company when everybody's got something different that does something this and that? And Jacob Wheeler set the bar for it this year, won a ton of money. Money he He would have won a lot of money, regardless. Jacob's always going to, but would he have won as much if he'd had just been with one electronics company, if he'd just been with Lowrance? I think you say no. I think that there's no way he would have. Amazing fisherman, but he wasn't handcuffed in any capacity. And you're going to see, you've seen this with a couple other big wins on the tours, and then in these other levels, like I was saying with the All-American, even with the live scope. So what's next from Hummingbird? What's next from Lowrance? What's coming? But what's coming from a sponsorship category? And I can tell you, without a doubt, I've teased this, there are things that I can't say yet and won't say, and we'll talk about it after they're announced because of contracts and different things. 2021, across all leagues, elites, BPT, FLW Pro Circuit, MPFL, there are going to be so many different sponsor looks for guys, especially in the boat world. There is some changes going on right now. Whew, some changes. Next year, you won't recognize anybody's jersey next year. I won't say anybody. But there's going to be a bunch of you like, what? A lot of changes. A lot of changes going on right now. It's just, it's a freaking crock pot of changes. Just a big old, just potluck, I guess I should say. Just changes galore. But what do we see from the electronics companies, and what do we see from anglers? I don't know. Because now everybody's got a trolling motor. Now everybody's got different things. It's interesting times, man. It's exciting. I love it. It gives me something to talk about, obviously. Thank you again to Patrick Walters. Thank you to you guys each and every week for tuning in, for watching, for listening, for commenting, for subscribing. I can't thank you enough for everything you've given me and every week that you give me a chance to do this again here with you. I really love it. It's a lot of fun, and getting to hear amazing stories from amazing guys like Patrick Walters, just dominant anglers. That's fun for me. That is very fun for me. Never gets old. So thank y'all. Absolutely, always. Hug your mama, hug your daddy. Coming up on another holiday. Those are always tough for us here in the Duncan household, just like they're tough for you guys that have lost loved ones, especially in this crazy COVID year with these numbers going up again and everything. And we've lost some dear friends in our community lately to COVID and COVID complications and things. And it's just a scary time right now, man. So hug your loved ones every night for dang sure. But I will see y'all. We'll take you out with a little Biloxi Blues. And I will see y'all Wednesday right here for LD and the freaking MC, me and Mercer, having fun with those. And then I'll see you again next Monday for the pre-Thanksgiving LBL. Going to take you out with some Biloxi Blues. Here you go. See y'all next time, you dadgum riverboat divas. Spanish moss, a Civil War ghost. Well, I'm gonna leave them in the past. Any direction, Lord, I'll be fine. It don't matter, east or west. North, south, wherever the wind blows, I'm leaving those burdens at rest. This highway, it does not know my name. I don't care, no, I don't care. Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare. Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
Anglers search for the one they call king, but who will take his throne? Tune in to Waypoint TV's Battle for Silver, Saturday, May 18th from 12 to 6 p.m. Eastern, presented by Abyss Battery. Waypoint TV.
I'm Will Cooper, host of HuntStand's Make Your Mark podcast. For even more content, be sure to watch the original films from HuntStand Presents on the Waypoint TV channel every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern. Visit waypointtv.com to learn more.